Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at Pathway to Promotion. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you that you love us so much, that you watch out for us at all times, that you care for us, that you have a pathway for each of us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you watch over everything that pertains to us. Thank you for our time today in the Scriptures. God, we look forward to you speaking to us through your word, that we may be more and more like you day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. As I said, today we're looking at Pathway to Promotion. But that wasn't the original title I would have given it. But, you know, I've been notified. It's a whole lot better to have nice, cheerful, encouraging titles than some of my others. I probably would have said, from the fire, in the fire, through the fire. So we're going to read, and actually we're going to look at a passage that I'm sure everybody who is listening to this is very familiar with, and one that you know well and have heard and shared yourself. But we just hopefully will find one or two little nuggets in it that maybe you didn't see before. I think that one of the hardest things to teach out of the Scriptures are familiar Scriptures, because there's something in our brain that turns off and says, oh yes, I've heard that, I know that. And it's always when we think we have plumbed something from God and we think there's nothing else in there, that we find a little nugget or two just for him to remind us that he is the Lord and it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Okay, so we're going to look at, as you can tell, it's going to have to do with fire. So open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 30. It says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. So the end of this is promotion, but there was a pathway to promotion. It's become kind of trendy for us to just talk about the ends of things without the journey to get there. And for a Christian, that just doesn't always work. It's easy to please people by sharing all these yummy things, but not really talking about the really great stuff. The miracles happen when you need a miracle. No one just gets a miracle out of the blue when everything's going fine. Now, not that I would rather live a life where I need no miracles. I'd love to have just everything so in order that nothing ever went awry. But that is not the world we live in. And every once in a while I can get discouraged about it. And the scripture comes to mind where Jesus looked his disciples in the eye and he said, I'm not taking you out of the world. I'm leaving you here. And that's when he was leaving. He was leaving and he said, you're not of the world, but you're in the world, and I'm not taking you out of here. I'm leaving you here. So when the things get a little rocky, I know that he has a plan. Jesus himself never demands something from us that he himself didn't go through. If you remember, you know, he was living above the toil, the sin, the sadness, the fray, above all of it. But he came and dwelt among us, felt hunger, felt sorrow, felt discouragement, felt anger, felt so many things that he is tempted like in all points like as us, yet he navigated it without sin. There is a pathway to promotion. And Jesus wasn't promoted to the right hand of God simply because he deserved that spot by his heritage. He earned it. Amen. It was bestowed upon him, but he inherited it as the Son of God, but he also earned it. And I think that that's something for us to remember. There's a place God has for us by our inheritance as a child of God. There are things that God has for us because he just chooses to bestow goodness upon us. But there are some things that we earn, and all we want to hear is that voice that says, well done, good and faithful servant. So we're going to look at these three servants, and you know who they are, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And again, we know that you know that. I'm not going to insult anybody with that, but maybe we'll see one or two little things that we didn't see before. But we've now read the end of the book. They do get promoted. All right. So we're going to start in chapter 3, but we're going to back up to verse 9, or verse 8. Wherefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said unto King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. And they said, look, you made this decree, and whoever doesn't do it is to be cast into a burning fiery furnace. That's 11. They said, there are certain Jews that you've set over your affairs in Babylon, and these men, now they were men, not little children. We sometimes we base more of our gospel knowledge on songs that we sing or pictures that we see, which are people's interpretation. There's nothing wrong with that. But these were not three little Hebrew children. These were grown men. They've not regarded the... Now, I want to stop here because there are a couple of other themes that we've been kind of hammering on, and I'm going to touch them again today. Last time we talked about character and calling, and to talk about that, that means we're going to also talk about integrity. And that we will touch on. We've also touched on powerful phrases. Remember the woman who turned to give, the prophet asked for water, and as she was going, I love these powerful phrases. We're going to see another powerful phrase today that sometimes those phrases just come to me when I'm in a hard spot. And as she was going, I don't have the right to be discouraged. As she was going, I don't have the right to give up. As she was going. And another one, well, anyway, I won't rehash all of them, but those phrases that to me have the power of the gospel in them more than some of the times we come up with some very, you know, highfalutin phrases that with big theological words in them. But those are not the ones that will empower your life day by day, or at least for me. So anyway, the king had made a decree, and these other men were jealous of them, and were conniving to find a way to bring them into disrepute, to find a way to get them into trouble. I'm pausing here because I think there's something important about that. The Word of God is not to be used in an accusatory manner. I'm going to elaborate on that. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees knew the Scripture inside out, but they had lost the heart of it. I don't even know if they lost it. I don't know if they ever had it. But they used the Scriptures to do completely contrary to the heart of the Scripture. For example, when Jesus healed the man that was born blind, they used the Scriptures to have the man cast out and for Jesus to be accused of all kinds of blasphemy. And we saw them do that on a regular basis. And we think, oh, how terrible. Like one of the worst things we can do is call somebody a Pharisee. But I hear with my ear church people using Scripture to condemn others. There's another Scripture that we don't quote real often that says, who art thou that thou judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be old enough. For God is able to make him stand. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a sense of right and wrong and justice, but God never approves of using his word to in a manner that tears people down, that the word always has hope in it. The word always has an avenue of redemption in it. The word always, even when we have to speak plainly to somebody, yet it should never be a word of discouragement, a word of judgment, a word of harshness, a word to drive somebody from the presence of God. Anyway, there's another scripture that said, it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance, not the fear and harsh judgment of God. So I just want us to always make sure we don't misappropriate the Scriptures, even when there's something we think God may not approve of, unless he gives you that specific unction to work with that person. We are not to stand in judgment of people. I won't go into the whole thing, but they were wrong to use these judgments of the king against these men. And we, in Daniel's time, remember, you know, Daniel thrown in the lion's den, it kind of rebounded on them because when Daniel came out, the king saw what had happened and he took all the men who had accused Daniel, they threw them in the lion's den. Even Paul said, you know, I'm very careful lest I have led others to Christ and I find myself shipwrecked. We should always be mindful that it's not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the word that we portray. I'm sorry, I'm getting kind of off on that. Okay, so that sets it up. So he has been manipulated, and many times leaders can be manipulated. But these men, and you know the story, they were brought before them, and they asked them, and now we're going to get to that point that I just love this phrase. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16. They answered the king and then said, we are not careful to answer you in this way. Of course, it doesn't mean careful the way we mean it. But they were not going to try and manipulate it or make it political or maneuver it. They're going to be very plain in their speech. And they say to him, if our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us, he will deliver us. And that's where a lot of times we get, you know, and it's beautiful, and I love those. If you don't bow, you won't burn. But if you bow, you will burn. We love that. And I love it, and it's a good thing to repeat to yourself. If I don't bow, I won't burn. But if I bow, I will burn. But that's not where the power of this thing is. As I told you before about the widow of Zarephath, who was as she was going, and I've said this before, I presume you have heard, that the real war for our salvation, the real war of Calvary, was won in Gethsemane, when Jesus said, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever, but if you got a better plan than Calvary, I'd rather do that. And then he says one little word, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Not what I think or I want, but nevertheless, what your desire is more important than my desire. If you got a different plan, I'm okay with that. Nevertheless. And so here is their nevertheless. This, that sense. They said, God, with all boldness, they said, you know, we're just going to boldly, honestly, plainly answer you. God is able. God can deliver us. And then they say in verse 17, but if it be so, if it be so, if it be so, there's power in that if it be so. And this is the pathway to promotion. If it be so, we are not going to try and protect ourselves and maneuver things. God is able to deliver us. But if it be so that he doesn't do it, if the God we serve does not deliver us, let it be known unto you, O king, we still won't serve your golden image. We still won't bow down. So while we may say, if you bow, you burn. If you don't bow, you won't burn. But then you need to add to it. But even if I burn, I will not bow. That's the power. That's the power. That's the path to promotion. Even if I were to burn, I will not bow. Simple. So Nebuchadnezzar, as you know, was more full of fury. He heated it 7 times hotter. Now, this again, we're going to talk about the pathway to promotion. This time, he's so angry, he makes it so hot, and he binds the men up, and they were tied up in their clothes, which, of course, were very flammable, and he commanded them to be thrown in, and it was so hot that the men who took them there burnt. Now, there's something important here, and I don't know, maybe you have thought about it before, maybe you haven't. But this is what I like to think about. Remember I told you I also think of it from the fire, in the fire, through the fire. Most of us would have prayed for God to remove us from the fire. A kind of an example is when Moses leads the children of Israel, they're in the wilderness, and there are all those snakes around them. Remember there were all the snakes. The people go to Moses and say, Moses, pray to God that he removes the snakes. Most of us on our pathway, like the children of Israel looking for that pathway, the promised land, what we're asking God to do is get rid of the snakes. If it were the three of us there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we'd have said, God, please quench the fire. Remove the fire from me. Put out the fire. No fire. Take me far away from the fire. I want to be away from the fire. Okay? But that's not what God did. When they took a stand for God, not only didn't it get better, from a one point of view, it looked like it got worse. Because they heated it 7 times hotter. Now, it's like, you can only kill me once. You can't kill me 7 times hotter than that. But when he did that, then the men who took them there, died. Now, here's where it begins to unfold in a very interesting fashion. They were not removed from the fire. Rather, they were put in the fire. But because the men who even took them to the doorway of the furnace were killed, who was going to go get them? Nobody. The safest place in the universe for them right at that moment was in the fire. If the king got all upset and said, they need to be killed, go in there with the sword, and it's like, who's going to go? Because the men who just took them on their way died. The safest place in the world for them was in the fire. Not from the fire, but in the fire. So much of the time, when we become fearful instead of faith-filled, we want God to remove the temptation instead of realizing that right in the midst of it is where we are safest. The crowds, the mobs might have killed Paul and Silas, but the governor said they are going to be bound with chains in a locked door, behind a locked door, in the midst of the prison. That's the safest place for them in the world. Nobody can get to them. Amen. And so it is, the pathway isn't necessarily away from trouble. Sometimes it's going deeper into the trouble, but that's not the end. And so here they are in the fire. So they didn't pray to be removed from the fire, but it was in the fire they found their safety. Much of the time we just don't let God open our eyes. So now I'm going to talk to you about the opening of eyes. Because as we know, King Nebuchadnezzar makes this great statement, and I'm not so sure, I mean, I don't know that he knew what the visage of the Son of God is like, but anyway, he said, whoa, didn't we cast three men in there? He said, I see four men loose, walking. See, our liberty, people say, okay, don't put me in the fire, but you're still bound up. It's like when all the prison doors were open, they were still in chains. So God loosed them. They were made loose, but they were still in the midst of the fire. And the king says, there are four men in there loose, walking around. It doesn't say at any point, and nor does it report afterwards, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ever even saw the fourth man. The king saw it. God opened the eyes of the king. Remember, we were talking about the donkey that the prophet rode on. He saw the angel of the Lord, but the prophet didn't. God can open eyes if we are willing to be in the fire. And this actually makes this dramatic turnaround for the king. He saw a fourth man. You and I don't have to see the fourth man because we absolutely, positively know the fourth man is with us. It isn't that everybody's going to see it, but we know it. And the ones that God needs to see it will see it. So I think it's pretty funny that here he opens the eyes of this king and he sees them walking around. We've talked about the pathway to promotion. It wasn't by being removed from the fire. It was in the midst of the fire that something greater happened. And I just want to take a moment to have you see that goes all the way through the scriptures. Joseph was sold as a slave, thrown into prison, and presumed dead. Most of us wouldn't like that pathway to promotion, but God promoted him to be the second man right under Pharaoh. But he did it for a reason, that then his brethren and their families and his father and all the nation of Israel would be preserved, would be saved. God put him in a position. The pathway to promotion has to do with position. God will position you someplace that may not be comfortable for you, but in the end, there is promotion. And the promotion isn't necessarily for you. When these three men were released from the fire, and the Nebuchadnezzar did a turnaround and said, these men's God is to be worshipped, then every Israelite in captivity had a liberty to worship, because these men didn't pray to be from the fire, but to be in the fire. And through the fire, deliverance was brought to many. We sometimes pray for God to remove us from things. It is, you know, I mentioned about Moses and the serpents. It was funny. They said, Moses, Moses, ask God to make the serpents go away. And Moses said, you know, talk to God. And God said, no, I'm not going to do that. Here's what you're going to do instead. Make an image, a brazen image of a serpent, and raise it up high. And as long as you stare at that, you won't be bitten. He said, I'm not going to make the snakes go away. Rather, I'm going to find a way for you to live in the midst of them. And that way was that brazen serpent that was held high. The beautiful thing about that is, and people don't focus on that a lot, when Jesus said that he will be raised up, he said, as Moses raised up the serpent in the wilderness. We're not talking about resurrection. We're not talking about, and yes, that was great, and I'm grateful for that. But what Jesus was saying is, as the serpent was lifted up, as the man of God, the Son of God is lifted up, that we keep our eyes on him, and all the snakes around us won't bite us. All the fire around us won't consume us. But we need to keep our eyes on him. We need to be able to say, I'm not going to be careful about saying this. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to be confident. My God will deliver me. But even if he doesn't, I will not bow. And when they showed that kind of boldness, that kind of courage, deliverance was brought to many. There's a point of spiritual immaturity where we are looking and our prayers are for, God, get me out of this thing. And God's journey, God's pathway for us, promotion isn't about position with people. It's promotion with God. Jesus could have said, Lord, if you got another way, I'm ready to just go back and be with you without having to go through this. Nevertheless, your will. Why? Because it redounded to the salvation of many. Amen? When God leads us in a pathway, we move from the pathway of selfishness to the pathway of deliverance for others. It's not a comfortable place. It's not an easy place. It'd be easy to pray, remove me from the fire, make the snakes go away. But when we are literally promoted in maturity, spiritual promotion, we see that by doing these things, Joseph could have said, Lord, let me just get away from here. Don't let these brothers do this to me. He spent years in slavery, years in prison, years being abandoned by all of his family. They just assumed he was dead. And those were hard years, but by those years, the miracle of salvation's come to us, because it was through that lineage. If the devil could have killed him off there, we wouldn't have had a problem. The woman with the ministry of sticks, getting the widow who, as she was going to get water, then she said, we don't have this. The prophet sustained her and her son. If she had not sustained the prophet couldn't have sustained her, because that she was the one given that assignment. And then it never would have rained, the land would have fallen into disarray. There would have been destruction on every hand. See, God has protected his word, but he's also protected his promise through the centuries, through the lives of his people who are willing to say, nevertheless, but even if. Those are the things that bring about that grand deliverance for others other than ourselves. What distinguished Jesus was that he said, even though I don't have to go through this, I choose to go through this suffering for the glory that will be for many. And that is his pathway to promotion. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, well, we were willing to face the flames, but we will not bow. And when they came out, all of Israel was allowed to worship their God. Through their suffering, even though they didn't suffer in it, God laid them loose. The irony, the safest place for them was in the midst of that fire. But through the fire, freedom, liberty, worship came for many in the midst of captivity. And I just want to ask you today, those things that we're praying against, is there in them something that will redound to the goodness of others? Is there something God's asking us on our path that will lead to the deliverance of others? Paul made a big, long list when the Corinthians accused him of things. He made a big, long list, and I've been beaten, and I've been bound, and I've been shipwrecked, and he just lays it out there, not bragging nor complaining, just saying, this is what I have done, that others may hear the gospel. Whatever it is that we're facing today, even if it looks hard, even if it looks painful or difficult, number one, God will deliver us from it, but God will deliver us through it. He won't make it go away. Sometimes he'll throw you right smack in the midst of it, but that's a safe place to be. And through it, others will be brought into rejoicing and will be able to say, may the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be worshiped. I just want to encourage you today that whatever you're going through, God is mindful of it. God is with you. If he doesn't deliver you from it, he may deliver you right into it, but he will deliver you through it. And the promotion at the end of that is that others will know the goodness of the God we serve. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that each one of us that needs a word of encouragement receives it. I thank you, Father God, for filling in the gaps, making whatever changes needed to be made that I muffled and bungled. But God, that you be seen and that you be heard. Let this be the best week of our lives. May we see the flames around us turn to the glory of many. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Looking forward to being with you next week. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Mist, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Harkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him